Dossier on Demetrius. A document now gathering dust in a silent room. Gregory Keene turns another page of The Dossier on Demetrius.
As the hours ticked away, the long chase drew to its end. Demetrius, Yachty Blum, and Haiti were in hiding. With the Gestapo loot lost to them, their organization breaking up, their closest confederates destroyed by no one but themselves. The dossier on Demetrius itself had grown and grown until it had become a register of the criminals of post-war Europe. And they'd all had common roots. The Nazi malignants that flowered briefly and was stamped out, as Colonel Fentress called them once. Demetrius was more than just a criminal after £1 million worth of booty. He was a symbol of something. I don't know. We all felt it years ago. And his methods and underground channels had made him a case for MI5. Of course, you know all this. I'm going over it now because for a few hours it seemed there was a lull before the final storm. Demetrius, in his last hiding place, sat like a tarantula spinning his web of revenge against me. I paced the floor at headquarters on the embankment, waiting. There was Haiti. There were the disintegrating Poles who'd worked in Soho for Yachty Blum. There were Inspector Frayne's men from the yard, searching the ships that lay around the bottom end of Cork Street. And there was Colonel Fentress, who came back from the yard to say...
Have you been here all the time, Keane?
Yes, there's nothing new.
I didn't get anything much from the Poles they had at the yard. They seemed to know that Yachty Blum was on the run, but they couldn't or wouldn't say well.
Have to be pretty sure Yachty was out of circulation myself before I'd give him away, either.
Keen, I'm sorry to have to say this to you, but I've been doing some thinking.
Why are you sorry?
Will you agree it's a fair assumption that Demetrius knows Haiti Bergner tried to give him away twice?
Look, we went through that 2 hours ago.
And will you agree?
Yes.
So he'd have no compunction about sacrificing him?
He'd have no compunction about sacrificing anyone, his own mother.
And there can't be much doubt about it, he must be desperate.
I'd still like to know what you're sorry about, Colonel, unless it's the amount of your whiskey I've been putting away.
Well, it occurred to me that Demetrius might make you a proposition.
You look sober, sir.
Let me assure you, I am sober, and I'm not in the mood for clowning. It's quite on the cards that Demetrius will get word to you somehow.
Word to me? In the name of fortune, Colonel Fentress, saying what?
Offering to you Haiti Bergner's life against his own escape. Now, look here, old man, I'm serious. It struck me in a flash. Demetrius couldn't get out of this country unless someone in the police or MI5 gave him a hand. That's how tightly we've got the ports and the aerodrome sewn up. And then it struck me, on top of that, Demetrius could offer a bargain to just one man in the length and breadth of England. You.
But the idea's preposterous.
People like Demetrius know their own strength. He told you as much when you had him in your hands at Bookman's Sanatorium. You gave him a demonstration. You let him walk out to save Hades' life once. I want to know, are you capable of doing it again?
Oh, let me out of this mess. Get me into a cell till it's over. I don't want that responsibility in my hands.
You really want to be kept out of the way?
No, of course not. But I don't want to have to decide...
Well, of course, I've taken steps to see that if the proposition is made to you, you couldn't do anything about it. But I must ask you one thing, Keane. Just suppose you do hear from Demetrius. Let me know at once.
What's that going to do?
It might be possible to make Demetrius understand that your hands are tied. They surely wouldn't butcher the girl unless there was something to gain by it.
For the love of heaven, let it be outside the bounds of possibility. He couldn't communicate. He couldn't possibly be hunted as he is and still communicate with us.
I'm sorry to have to screw you up another notch or two, Keane, but it had to be done. Why don't you see this Bergner girl in the proper perspective? It's not right for any one human being to have such a grip on another.
Don't you think I've told myself that 100 times? Don't you think I've accepted affection from another girl to try and blot Haiti out?
Margaret Ridgway?
Yes, Margaret Ridgway.
Well, you don't have to shout at me, Keane. The Bergner girl has to take her chances. She made her own bed, she has to lie on it. She and Demetrius, as far as we are concerned, are one person, not two.
It's Haiti herself who's two people.
But it was the same girl who used her appeal to get Godowsky's address so Yachty Blum could knife him. It's the same girl who didn't blink an eye when she led Peter Ridgway into the underground to have him pushed under a train, Keene. Not to shoot him or break his neck or hang him according to law, but to have him pushed under a train. And she knew that. She knew what was to happen to Peter Ridgway. And yet so helpless. Oh, that's the woman you're hopelessly in love with.
I want her. I want her alive. If she has to serve 20 years, I'll still want her when she comes out.
I give up. Now go home, Keene. Go home and drink yourself silly.
All right. All right, Colonel.
I don't know. Looks as though the writing's on the wall. Demetrius, Yachty Bloom, Hedy Bergner, and Gregory Keene all going down together. And I thought I'd seen everything. Too bad. Keene was a good chap.
You can get back and watch the windows, Yachty.
Yeah.
You'll be interested to know, Hedy, the police are searching our ship at this moment. The good ship San Bernardino, the most innocent vessel in the stream.
I only hope we can go back and hide on board again when the search is over.
I can promise you the next 24 hours in this warehouse will be the last. If you play your part well with Gregory Keene.
I think you're wasting your time. He would not be such a fool as to be led into a trap that...
He will be led into this trap, Hedy, precisely because he is not a fool.
Even if he thought I was sincere, even if he thought I wanted to betray you, he would say to himself, Hedy was forced to give me that message.
Your first message, yes. Put yourself in Keene's position. You telephone him. There's urgency in your voice. You tell him that we three will be at a certain address at a certain time. You tell him that I know you tried to betray me, and we're keeping watch. The first sign of the police shot, he's going to kill you, so Keene must come, alone.
He'll ask, how is it possible for me to make the call?
Andrew replied that you can hear Yachty's footsteps and you have to hang up. Keene will congratulate himself on seeing through an obvious trap. He'll arrange to have the address you've given him surrounded. But then he gets your second message. This time you're frantic. You'll tell Keene he mustn't go near that address. It's a trap. Demetrius is waiting there to kill him. But you're being held prisoner here in this warehouse. Keene must come at once. There's not a second to lose if he wants to rescue you. Tell me, Hedy, what happens then?
You know what will happen. Keene will be sure of my good faith. He'll leave the police to capture you at the address of the first message and rush here to rescue me. Very likely alone.
And, of course, he'll find Yachty and me waiting to receive him. We'll make him welcome, won't we, Yachty?
Yeah, yeah.
Not perhaps quite as warmly as possible, but welcome nevertheless. We want you to be word perfect, Hedy, so I think we'll rehearse again. And I think you'd better understand, while these telephone calls are being made, Yachty will be standing very close to you. By a coincidence, he'll have one of those knives of his handy. It simply wouldn't do to make a mistake, would it? I'm sorry to have to threaten you, Hedy.
So that's how things stand, Margaret. I simply couldn't hang about my own flat. Called here on the off chance.
It's all right, darling. I understand. I wish I didn't.
You know, you should tell me to get out.
Because I know you only come close to me, so you can tell yourself I'm Hedy.
I have to get her out of my mind.
And I'm Electa Keene. Well, I don't care. If it's true you can get one love out of your heart by forcing yourself to take another, oh, here I am. I'm always here for you, Keene. Please don't ever forget it. Just remember to love me a little, that's all.
If you could turn it on and off like an electric oven. Margaret, it's still youth.
You haven't long to go, darling. Soon now it'll be resolved for you. Everything will be taken out of your hands. Perhaps you'll be able to accept the accomplished facts after they've happened.
But with Hedy, they mustn't be allowed to happen. She's not all bad. She's tried to recover some of the ground she's lost.
Keene, I can listen to anything from you but your efforts to whitewash Hedy Bergner.
You don't know her as well as I do.
How well do you know her? As well as you know me?
More than you, Margaret.
Oh.
Why should I conceal it from you? Hedy is with Demetrius and Yachty Bloom this minute. If they know she betrayed them, I can't let myself think what will happen to her.
Then don't think about her at all.
I'm conscious of nothing else. Either way, if she's with Demetrius when we call him, there'll still be no hope for her.
Oh, stop it, Keen. Stop torturing yourself over the creature. She deserves what's coming to her over and over again. Wait here. I'll see who it is and send them away. Why, Colonel Fentress, hello.
Good evening, Miss Ridgway. Miss Keene here?
Yes, come in. Go on through. He's in the lounge.
Thank you.
When you say you'll be at your flat, Keene, and you change your mind, I wish you'd make me a signal.
Oh, I'm sorry, Colonel. What is it?
Here. Have a look at this brooch. You recognize him?
Why, yes. I've seen her wearing it time and time again. It's Hayden's. Where did you get it?
We're pinning them down. That brooch was found in a cabin of one of the ships near Cork Street. Portuguese ownership, Panamanian registry. You weren't 20 yards from it the night you heard them take Eustace Menendez.
Name?
S.S. San Bernardino. And Keen, I think her master should be able to tell us where to find Demetrius.
While Demetrius and the others were hiding on the ship, both Manonly and Fleur Dupont had made telephone calls. The ships at Cork Street had no phone connection, and yet Haiti had been able to communicate with them at will. So they had a hideout with a telephone in it, ashore, but near the San Bernardino. There were 31 hours to go.
Draws closer to the warehouse in the next suspenseful chapter of Dossier on Demetrius. Dossier on Demetrius. A document now gathering dust in a silent room. Major Keene, in his room on the Thames embankment, turns another page of The Dossier on Demetrius.
Only 16 hours had passed since we'd stood in the cold light of dawn at Copperfield Heath, with the black outline of the mosquito bomber in the background, the open cabin trunk, the forged and worthless money blowing about the airfield, and the lifeless body of the pilot Zarahoff lying at our feet. It was a grim scene, all right, but it spelt ruin and failure to Demetrius. Now he was in hiding, in his last line of retreat. Demetrius, Yachty Blum, and Haiti Bergner, the only three left of the streamlined organization he'd set up from Berlin. And very soon, this last remnant would have its backs to the wall. We'd finally been given authority to search the foreign ships lying at the bottom end of the Cork Street docks. On one of them, the SS San Bernardino, a Scotland Yard fellow picked up a brooch. The brooch belonged to Haiti, and taking this with certain other facts, we knew we'd narrowed the hunt down again. Demetrius was hiding in the dock area, somewhere not far from the San Bernardino. The next job was to smoke him out. What's the scale of this map?
12 inches to the mile, roughly 2/3 of an inch to the 100 yards. Now, there are your Cork Street dockyards, gentlemen. Just about every detail but the individual cobblestones.
Mm. It doesn't seem to be much here but warehouses.
Hmm. Darn good hiding places, too. Now then, we can be pretty sure Demetrius and the other two aren't dodging about an occupied warehouse, hiding under bales and so forth, or playing hide-and-seek with the dockers. Agreed? Right. So we've marked one, the empty warehouses, and two, the occupied but closed warehouses.
Colonel Fentress.
Yes, it's all right, Keene. I'm coming to that phone business now. We've good grounds for the assumption, you chaps, that wherever Demetrius is holed up, he has access to a telephone. So now, we've three conditions for our critical warehouse to fulfill. It has to be unfrequented by dockers, it has to be closed and to all intents and purposes unused, and it has to have a connected telephone.
And how many satisfy all three conditions?
Well, here the picture begins to change. Almost all warehouses have an office with a connected telephone. Of the 104 buildings marked here, 98 have phones. The five or six older houses in the neighborhood haven't a telephone between them.
Mm. That puts Demetrius definitely in a warehouse.
Great. But of the 98 buildings with phones, no fewer than 86 are connected. And of those 86, 25 are in unused, apparently unoccupied warehouses.
So it boils down to this. We have 25 buildings to surround and search from ceilings to floor. They're all four or five stories high, covering a good deal of space. And from the tops of them, we could hold off a battalion.
But in one of them, Keene, we'll find Demetrius. So gather round closer, you fellows. I want to show you which blocks of the area contain more than one warehouse. And when the time comes, we'll go over the ground block by block.
The fog's coming in again tonight.
It can't blot out enough for me.
Melancholy, here, dear?
Who wouldn't be? Cooped up in this wretched loft, hour after hour.
The fog should cheer you, my dear. It makes it possible for us to get out of here for a while.
Where are we going?
To a public telephone. You haven't forgotten the two messages you're to give Gregory Keene, have you?
What's wrong with the phone here in this warehouse?
The calls through automatic exchanges can be traced very quickly, dear. It's quite possible that Keene will be expecting word from you and have his tracing arrangement ready and waiting. I think we'd do much better to use a public phone.
There isn't one nearby.
Oh, really, Eddie. Your memory gets worse and worse. You should take one of those courses for it. Don't you recall Fleur de Pont running out of this very building, down the cobblestoned lane, running and running till she came to a phone?
I had forgotten.
Well, it's beside the point. In half an hour, you'll make your first call to Gregory Keene. In 40 minutes, the police will be moving towards the address you give them. In 50 minutes, you'll make your second call to Keene. And in a little over an hour, we should have him with us right here.
I still don't think he will come.
It's going to be unfortunate for you if he doesn't. Try to convey that in your voice, Hady. Your urgency won't be assumed.
If he does fall into your snare, what will you do to him besides...
Oh, as usual, I'll leave those things to Yachty.
Oh, for the last time, before it's too late, don't do this. It is the final, the culminating murder. If the others were necessary, if that's how you excuse them, this one is not. You're going to murder Keene out of malice, for nothing but malice, because he's beaten you time and time again when it seemed that you had the game in your hands.
Not only for that, Hady. For you.
One does not steal me from you, is that it? To make Demetrius himself jealous, what an achievement. Oh, you set your snare and murder a man.
The execution is nothing. It's the method that counts. And I think it's singularly apt that Keene's love for you should be used to bring about his own destruction. Don't you?
Of all the hateful things you have done, this will be the worst.
Of course it's the worst from your point of view. It affects you personally. However, we'll let you actually watch as Keene is disposed of. What could be more satisfying? The perfect revenge.
Oh, no. No, stop.
Keene puts me, Demetrius, into a position like this, but he'll pay, and you'll see him pay, Hady.
No.
Now you watch, be happy in the thought that we only caught him because he loved you.
I won't do it. I've done enough. I won't do this ghastly thing.
You know, Hady, you will.
I will never do it. You won't make me.
I know you too well. You're capable of love, yes, but you're also in love with yourself and your own beauty. It could be ruined so easily.
I don't care what you say. You will not drag me down into this final horror. I will not let you use Keene's love for me to murder him.
Yachty! There you are, Hady. Your old playmate, Yachty Blum. You know the choice you have to make. Take a good look at Yachty, who has no affection for you at all. And then make your decision.
It's Keen. On me.
Precisely. That's all, Yachty. I told you, Hader, we're desperate men. We've nothing to lose. You play your part with Gregory Keen? Do you? Yes. Yes, I see that you do.
All right, chaps, that's all. We'll make our first move within 12 hours, so stay on tap.
Take it. Anyone come for a bite to eat?
No, don't you go.
There's so much for the dock area around Cork Street, Keen. The next thing's the master of the San Bernardino.
Yes, that's the character I'm waiting for. He had Demetrius, Bloom, and Hady on his ship. Surely he can give us some idea where they are now, Colonel.
The trouble is, we can't do much about questioning him for an hour or so at least.
Why not, sir? Yeah, of course, foreign national with his consulate trying to bail him out.
That's right. Frayne at the yard's letting us know as soon as the fellow's properly sewn up and formally charged.
How can they charge him?
Whatever it is, it's trumped up till we can dig something out of him. But we have to wait that hour or so before we can begin.
I don't know. Dealing with people like these, I sometimes think we'd do better to fly straight in and hang the legal consequences.
What? Hang it, Keen, we couldn't possibly do that. It'd never do.
Why couldn't we now?
It's out of the question. We're blimps, everyone knows that. We go about calling each other old boy and feebly trying to brush away the wool the spies keep pulling over our eyes. Good Lord, Keen, how would those cartoonist fellows get on if it were ever suspected that we had a grain of sense?
I've no idea, sir.
Well, there you are, you see what I mean. It's one of the secrets of MI5. You'll be here, won't you?
Of course.
Right. Give me a buzz in about an hour, will you? I'll give Frayne that long to make the skipper of the San Bernardino look nice and tidy. After that, we'll move in. And heaven help the chap if he decided not to talk.
There you are, Colonel. An hour from now.
Stand easy, Kurtz. How's it coming along?
There's nothing to report at the moment, sir.
Do you think Major Keane has any idea that we've tapped in on his telephone?
Oh, he couldn't possibly have, Colonel Fintress. This instrument I'm listening with works by induction, so you don't get any of them little clicks.
Oh, works by induction, eh?
That's right, sir.
Well, switch that recorder on to any communication between Keane and either Hady Bergner or Demetrius. I trust Major Keane with my life, Kurtz. I expect you would, too. But where Hady Bergner's concerned, he throws reason to the winds.
I understand, sir.
Major Keane's quite capable of putting his own life in forfeit to get Hady Bergner away from Demetrius alive. It's up to you to put a stop to it if he tries.
Don't worry, sir. Demetrius doesn't get another lash at the Major, sir. Not while I'm about. And if he thinks he's using that girl to trap Major Keane into sticking his neck out, he can have another bloomin' think right away.
Good work, Cuts. That's the spirit.
Ah.
Is that a call coming in for Keane?
Just a jiff, sir. Yes. A woman's voice.
Well, switch something on so that I can hear it quickly.
Yeah. I'll switch it on to the speaker, sir. There we are.
Hello?
Major Keane.
Yes, this is Gregory Keane speaking.
This is Hady Bergner, and I have an important message for you. Demetrius and Yachty Bloom will be in an empty house at the corner of Abbott and Priory Streets at 10 o'clock tonight. You will have to take them alone because they're keeping watch. And at the first sign of the police...
It came at last, the thing I'd been waiting for. And it was the most obvious trap imaginable, even baited according to Colonel Fentress's predictions, with Hady. They couldn't expect me to fall for a story like that. They had a second move up their sleeves. So I waited a little longer. There were 29 hours to go.
Does the trap for Gregory Keane succeed? Listen for the next chapter in this story of suspense. Dossier on Demetrius.
Dossier on Demetrius. A document now gathering dust in a silent room.
Major Keane turns another page of the dossier on Demetrius.
There were 29 hours to go when the word I was waiting for came through. Hady was on my phone, making her third attempt to betray Demetrius, and to save herself at the same time. At least, that's what I was intended to believe. We knew that Demetrius, Yachty Blum, and Hady were hiding in one of the warehouses in the neighborhood of the Cork Street docks. We knew that they'd been on the SS San Bernardino. We had the San Bernardino's master under arrest, and he was due for some solid questioning. And then my phone went, and it was Hady. I'd known she'd get in touch with me if it was humanly possible. When she did, I wasn't the only one who was listening to her. But I didn't know that at the time.
This is Hady Bergner, and I have an important message for you. Demetrius and Yachty Blum will be in an empty house at the corner of Abbott and Priory Streets at 10 o'clock tonight. You will have to take them alone.
Where are you speaking from, Hady?
Oh, let me finish. They know I attempted to betray them. I will be with them in the house. At the first sign of the police, they're going to kill me like Eustace Manningly.
Quickly, Hady, where are you calling from?
A public box. There is someone coming. Yachty's coming. I must get out of here before he sees me. Come alone, Keane. If you bring police, they will kill me. They'll kill me unless you come alone.
Well done, Hady. All right, Yachty, you can put your knife away. You can see Hady prefers her own life to Gregory Keane's.
Why don't you let him stab me? Look at him. He hates to put his knife away.
Then don't tempt him.
You still need me for the second call, don't you? And you want me to watch you do away with Keane? So I'm still safe from Demetrius, the man I loved and sold my soul to.
If you insist on making small talk, Hady, let me point out how cheaply we bought you. No, we won't go up to the loft again just yet. We'll wait till we've made our second phone call. The one Keane will be so sure is genuine. How's the time? Yes. We'll give Keane 12 or 15 minutes to digest your message and get his men together. Yachty, give Hady a cigarette and light it for her. You can see she's not happy, can't you?
Well, Cuts?
They're baiting the most obvious trap for the Major you could think of, sir.
Quite so. It's as plain as the nose on your face. You positive Major Keane couldn't know his phone was tapped?
Not a chance with this little gadget, sir.
Quite. All right. Back to his room, quickly. I'll handle Frayne and the yard fellows. We've no time to lose.
What about the Major himself, Colonel Fentress?
The Major? From the minute we walk into his room, you don't let him out of your sight.
No, sir.
For his own protection. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
Now, this is the situation as I see it. Demetrius and Yachty Blum will be in or near the house the Bergner girl just told us about.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have some means of getting away quickly. And, of course, they're counting on Major Keane coming alone to save Hedy's life, if possible.
Yes, but surely the Major won't be taken in with anything so blooming simple a nipper could see through it.
Yes, exactly. But, I'm afraid Major Keane's not completely rational where Hady Bergner is concerned, Cuts.
No, sir.
If he's taken in, he'll keep that phone call to himself. If he's not, he'll be looking for us this minute.
You can see that, don't you, Cutts?
Yes, Colonel.
All right. Now, come along. Upstairs at the double.
Hey, Colonel, are we putting a man on the recorder in case the Major gets another call, sir?
There won't be any more calls, Cutts. Come along, upstairs, man. We want to see how Keene's taken his message from Hady Bergnaut. And remember this, Cutts. Don't let him out of your sight.
I sat there, with the telephone still in my hand. It was a trap. It was so obviously a trap that I couldn't believe Demetrius was behind it. And being a trap, had Hady been forced to make that phone call, or had she done it willingly? I thought I would come apart. My head was bursting. I had to decide. If it were a trap, then I couldn't go to Priory Street alone. I might as well commit suicide by shooting myself here at my desk. But if I were wrong, if the message from Hady were real, what then? If I went after Demetrius in strength, if I surrounded the house with police, then they'd butcher Hady and she'd die knowing I didn't care, that I was prepared to see her butchered. The minute I sat there seemed like an eternity. Then?
Hi, Keen. I've just been talking to the yard. Hi, Keen, what's the matter with you?
Colonel, help me.
What is it, man? What are you sitting there with that telephone for?
Give me a minute.
You've heard from Hady Bergman?
No, there was no message. Demetrius and Yachty Bloom will have her in a house at the corner of Abbott and Priory Streets in 40 minutes. Unless I go alone, they'll kill her.
Cuts in here.
Yes, sir.
Now then, Keene, come along. Take hold of yourself.
It's a trap for me, and I know it's a trap. But what am I going to do?
My dear fellow, you're going to stay here with Tom Cuts. The affair's out of your hands now.
What?
We heard that phone call from the recorder room.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Keene. We had to do it. And now Frayne's getting his squad together this minute.
You're going to surround the house?
Of course.
They'll kill the girl.
And if they don't, she'll die with them when they make a fight of it.
I might be able to make it alone. Across the roofs.
Oh, don't be silly. Talk sense, man. You're the one they want. They know they can't escape, and they want to take you too. They must be up against it to think you could be drawn with a blatant lure like the one Hady just gave you.
But they'll kill her.
Yes, of course they will. Now, face up to him, man. There's no way out.
There must be a way out.
Now, look here. There are three courses of action. Ignore the phone message and let Demetrius go. Try to take them alone and walk into a suicidal ambush. Or do what I'm doing, the sensible thing to do. Go to Priory Street with 20 men and exterminate Demetrius.
They'll kill her, she said. They'll kill her like men only.
I heard what she said. I'm sorry, Keene. And it'll only be a matter of minutes anyway. Remember, we've instructions not to attempt to take Demetrius alive. So if what Hady said was true, they'll only do away with her a few minutes before we destroy the three of them ourselves.
Couldn't we offer them... Couldn't we promise them safe conduct if they let Hady walk out of the house?
Stay here and carry out your orders, Cutts.
But we don't have to honor it, Colonel. Promise them safe conduct out of the country for Hady's life and then go in after them.
After all this, Keene, what do you take Demetrius for? Can't you imagine him? He'd laugh at you. He knows we give no safe conduct.
Then I'll have to come with you. I have to be there.
You're staying here, right in this room. And Cutts has orders to see you don't leave it.
But I hunted Demetrius down. No one should be in the kill more than me.
I'm not going to see you throw your life away, Keene. And having known you this long, I believe you're capable of it. No, you're staying here with Cutts.
I won't do it.
I'm sorry, old chap. All right, I'll answer then. Hello, Fenter speaking. Yes, friend. I see. All right. Good work. I'll be waiting for you outside with my chaps in 1 minute. Yes. Yes, right. It's out of all of our hands now, Keene. Resign yourself to it. Don't worry, old man. I'll keep you posted. In half an hour, the hunt should be ended and Demetrius dead. All right, Cutts. See you carry out your orders.
Hmm. 14 minutes since your first phone call, Hady. Good. Now we try again. This is the important one. Yossi will be behind you as before. Make no mistake.
I hope Keene has already gone to the address in Priory Street.
That's the one circumstance over which I have no control. But your first message was so obviously a trap that he'll surely wait to collect a squad of men. I think we've let an appropriate interval go by.
I have to do it now.
Now? Pick up the telephone. What are you waiting for? Dial his number.
It's not too late. Don't do it. You're asking me to do a diabolical thing. Please, please don't do it.
Dial Keane's number on the embankment.
I can't. You've chosen the one way to bring him here alone. He will let his men go to Priory Street to capture you and come here to the warehouse alone.
Precisely. Now, dial a number. If you're tempted to warn Keane in the next 30 seconds, Hady, just keep a picture of Eustace Manningly in your mind. Yachty?
I'm knowing.
The knife. Hold it ready in front of her eyes, where she can see it.
No, no, please.
Now, Hady. And remember Eustace Manningly.
I'll take it if you like, Major.
No. This is Gregory Keane.
Keane, don't go to the house I told you. It's a trap, don't go.
Where are you calling from, Jennifer?
This is Hady.
I know that. Go on.
Demetrius and Yachty are waiting at the house for you to come alone. They left me here, tied up and locked in. I managed to get to this phone in the same room. Come and get me, Keane, quickly, before Demetrius gets back. They're going to kill me, I know they are.
Where?
In the attic. In the loft of the fourth warehouse from the docks in Shirley Road.
All right. Leave it to me.
You'll come at once?
Of course.
Who was that, Major?
It was a personal call, Jennifer Shaw. Which car did Colonel Fentress use, do you know, Kurt?
The Green Saloon, sir.
Oh, I thought he might have taken mine.
No, sir. Yours is outside of the curb.
Yeah. Well, in that case, Cut, stand aside.
Ah, now look here, Major.
Yes. I'm pointing a gun at you, and I mean it. I'm getting out of here, and you're not stopping me. So come on, Tom. Stand aside. I couldn't take cuts. I was going for Hady Bergner, and when I had her, she wasn't going to be handed over to Scotland Yard. I was going to keep her hidden till I could get her away altogether. She was mine. She was my love. So I couldn't take Tom Cutts. There were 18 hours to go.
The trap springs shut on Keane in the next chapter of this story of suspense. Dossier on Demetrius.